welcome to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw from C70 at the Bat and at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Terrell Wellman from Bird Seeds, Bird Tales, and at Terrell Wellman on the Twitter box. Tara and I thought we would do a little earlier show on our Sunday night. Usually we're doing kind of a late night show, but we thought, well, we'll do it. The Cardinals have a 4-1 lead. We'll get this show in while there's still hope, and we still couldn't do it. It's 6-4 by the time we got a chance to start, because that just seems the way the
Was less than 10 minutes, by the way.
Right.
Less than 10 minutes.
This was not some, you know, oh, wow, this was an hour ago. It was, hey, let's do this. Okay, 10 minutes later, lead's gone. Tara, it's just been that kind of week, it feels like. This is, I mean, 4 runs is huge out of this Cardinal offense right now. But it just feels like any lead that the Cardinals have, you don't expect them to have it for very long.
Yeah, and for the most part, that's been at the hand of the bullpen. But in the last week, we've seen the starting rotation give up the lead on a couple of occasions as well. Of course, the most dramatic probably coming in this Cubs series, with a couple of big home runs that took the lead for Chicago. And then the Cardinals, as they have for the last month or so, have just failed to score any more runs. And, you know, at this point, it's hard to even come up with, I don't know, a good conversation about why that is or what it is, which is going to make for a great show. So keep listening. But, you know, it's just hard to figure out where to even go at this point, because, you know, there are changes that have been made. And I'm sure we'll talk about them, but they're not necessarily the changes that are going to make a big impact. There are guys who are coming up from the minor leagues who are, for the most part, holding their own, but that doesn't mean a whole lot on a team where it seems like nobody's hitting much above 200 right now. And with one clutch two-out hit, seems to be far and away more than you expect at night than on nights like tonight, when even that is erased in a matter of moments. You know, it's just really frustrating all around. It's a far cry from that, what, 18-6 stretch that the Cardinals had that seems like it was a turning point and they were going to be able to figure it out and they were going to be able to compete with the Cubs in the division, and now they're on the verge of being swept in Chicago. So that's not a good turnaround.
Not at all. And I mean, again, the division is helping them out because they're still just a couple of games back, although Milwaukee won today. So if they this score holds, and it is the top of the fifth, in theory, there could be more to come for the Cardinals. It seems unlikely, but it's possible. You know, they're going to lose a game to Milwaukee. They're going to come into Chicago in second place, leave in third place. And they're going to be a couple of games under 500, and it's very difficult to feel like this team isn't a 500 team. And so I guess maybe the question is, Tara, how much do you pour into this team if you're John Mozeliak? You know, we still got probably a month to 5 weeks till the trading deadline really gets, you know, the trading market gets really heated up. But if this is just a mediocre team, even if they're playing in a weak division, is it worth doing much to them? Or do you think that maybe Mo has to, just because the fan base is so riled up right now?
I think there are two ways to look at it, and I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily know which one I prefer. One is that you've got the Magnieri Sierra class, the Paul DeJong class coming, and an opportunity to go out and get a big name free agent in either this offseason or next, and really create a strong team with an enormous amount of talent that will be prepared as a unit, almost like they did with the Daniel Descalso and the David Freese and the, you know, that era of Cardinals baseball, John Jay, and yes, even Pete Cosma. Mm-hmm. But some of those guys that came up together, they sort of planned for that team to be successful far before it was. And while I think that the teams that won championships for the Cardinals in the last decade, they did so when they were exceeding expectations. They may not have been in fact, they were not the favorite to win in either of those years. But they had a core group of players that they'd been building towards that moment for a long time. I think that the Cardinals are in a similar situation with that younger class of players. And I think you could include Alex Reyes in that mix as somebody that they've had their eye on as a part of a team that will be a contender down the road. So you could look at this season and say, you know what, we're not going to dig into that talent pool in order to try to salvage this season because we feel like we have something special for 2019 or, you know, the year after. And I'm not entirely sure that that's a wrong approach. I think that's hard to swallow if you're a fan of this team and you're watching, you know, the tail end of an Adam Wainwright career, of a Yadier Molina career, and it's hard to think that that's fair to those guys to basically just walk away from a team that that those guys are trying to lead to, you know, to a division title. It's hard to swallow that. But it is a legitimate option if you are looking towards building with that young talent. I think the flip side of that is, you mentioned it, this is a very, very weak division. It at this point would not take that much to run away with the division. It would take a level of consistency that no one has shown yet. So if you can go out and make a change or two, if you want to be really crazy, three, and flip some things over a little bit, you could win this division and make a run in a year where you weren't expected to, where the Cubs aren't as good as you thought they were, where the Brewers are better, but they're not great, and the division is really there for the taking. So on the one hand, you could just kind of write the season off and say, you know what, they're not as good as we thought they were going to be, so we're just going to sit back, see what happens, take the wins we can get, and then build towards the next couple of years. But you could also look at it and say, nobody else is as good as we thought they were going to be either, so let's try to be the team that turns it around.
Yeah, and I mean, the one good thing about this team, at least for the most part, has been the starting pitching. And if you're going to go deep into a playoff or October in general, that's kind of the key that you need to have. So if the Cardinals could get some sort of big bat, and we talk about that big bat probably for the last 4 years, maybe longer. But if you could get something like that and get things to click a little bit, because the bullpen you can probably juggle around enough with the arms that are gone and arms that are coming up in the minors and all that kind of stuff. You could probably make that work. But, you know, if you've got to go out and get that big bat. So it would feel to me that that's one of those situations that John Mozeliak goes out and gets a guy that's under control for next year as well, hoping to, you know, if you can do something this year, great. If not, you're looking for next year. But, you know, how much does that take up for those young guys? Like you said, having those young guys coming up, you know, could be very, very helpful. But they're, none of them are going to be that quality, solid guy that the team hasn't seen. I hate to say they haven't seen since Albert Pujols, because that's a level that nobody should have to try to live up to. But at least since...
But you're not wrong.
Well, at least since quality Matt Holliday. In the last two or three years, you haven't had that. You know, there was a stat out there on Twitter.
This
I mentioned
is
it
Bill
somewhere
Young,
on...
Bill has a no weeds,
on,
not in my
Gateway,
yard.
Or not Gateway,
but with Scott's
Turf
Builder Mutual last night, feed, Bill has nothing to
that
worry about.
The 3 to 6 hitters, I think, are like 24th in baseball since 2014 for the Cardinals. I mean, they're bottom of it in most offensive categories. That heart of the order has been as bad as anything else in baseball. They just need that kick, but it's hard to see John Mozeliak going out and getting that kick too. So I don't know. Now, we did talk a little bit about the bullpen and the overarching changes. The biggest one, of course, is that Jonathan Broxton no longer wears a Cardinal uniform. He still gets paid by the Cardinals, don't get me wrong, but he is no longer wearing a Cardinal uniform. it really got to the point, it felt like, that you could not argue. There were no logical or illogical reasons to keep him on the roster, and finally, Jahmyr Zaylock had to make that move.
First of all, any time the Cardinals want to pay me to not pitch out of the bullpen, I would take that check. But no, you're right, and it sounds terrible, but it got to the point where in that last game where Jonathan Broxton was pitching, I found myself almost hoping he gave up the grand slam just because that would have made it impossible for him to stay on the roster, and that is terrible. I can't even remember the last time that I was wishing something of that nature on one of the players for the team that I root for. But it had gotten to that point where you felt like there had to be this absolute implosion for Jahmyr Zaylock to make the move. And evidently what he saw was enough to go ahead and make that move. But I was telling someone about this decision that while we all kind of celebrated it, it wasn't like it really did a whole lot because it should have happened a long time ago. You know, it's kind of like saying, yay, you finally did the right thing, but it still didn't fix anything. It took away one of the problems, but it didn't really solve anything. And it was something that shouldn't have been an issue to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. So it was hopefully one move in a series of moves. If you're willing to buy into Jahmyr Zaylock trying to make this team better this year. But it was maybe too little too late. I saw someone on Twitter today saying that 10 of the 27 losses for the Cardinals belong to the bullpen. That's entirely too many. And Jonathan Broxton was a part of that. Of course, Brett Cecil is a part of that. And that's just the unfortunate reality of it. But these are changes that may have happened too late.
Yeah, maybe so. It does give flexibility to the bullpen. There's about three guys down there that now have options, and maybe we'll see a little bit of roster churn. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, Jonathan Broxton, I doubt, was over the last 2-3 weeks probably, was not responsible for any losses. He was responsible for games getting out of hand. He was responsible for, you know, bad losses maybe, but he was not the one that tipped the scales, which is funny because of Jonathan Broxton's weight. But anyway, he didn't because they weren't using him in any kind of leverage situations. I mean, the game was already out of hand by the time you saw Jonathan Broxton. The good thing about losing Broxton is that theoretically you've got more guys in there that you trust to pitch in games like that. So, but you're right. Him by himself was not going to kickstart this team, especially when so much trouble was on the offensive side of things. And I think, again, we've talked about the big bat, but let's look at what the team has. It feels like still the Cardinals aren't really putting the tools that they have in the optimal positions. You know, we did see Matt Carpenter move up to second now in the lineup, which is interesting, but the Cardinals continue to run out Yadier Molina in the heart of the order. We saw games this week where Johnny Peralta and Yadier Molina were in the middle of the order, which is just asking for trouble. It feels like it just still feels like, as much as we hate to complain about roster construction, and it's probably not a huge idea of where who bats where, doesn't make that much difference, it still feels like Mike Matheny could do a little bit better job of putting the 1-9 together.
Yeah, and I think that's true, although you know, when you move Matt Carpenter out of the three spot, which I think is, I've been saying all season that I wanted Matt Carpenter to hit second. I don't know that it's really helping at this point, but nonetheless, who do you put third? I mean, right now there's not a guy on that roster that actually makes sense in the three spot. So as much as it's easy to rip on Mike Matheny for deciding that Yadier Molina is the best bet there, there's not a guy to fill that spot, and that's part of the problem for this team. There isn't someone that isn't a potential danger in the middle of the order, whether it's for the strikeouts or for the potential to hit into double plays. There's no one that has the consistency. There's no one that has the power. There's no one that has the skill set that they really need in the heart of the order. I mean, Jed Jerko's doing just about everything that he can possibly do, but he's still not that guy, at least not without a little bit of help around him. So, you know, if Stephen Piscotty can become that guy, then that's great. But again, I think that that's a developing skill set that we're probably not going to see it. We're not going to see it as it will be down the road this year. So these are all problems that we've seen for a while, and I feel like we're a bit of a broken record at this point talking about the things that this team still needs. But just like with Jonathan Broxton, if they do at some point move Johnny Peralta, it's going to feel like a big move, but it really won't be that big of a move because he shouldn't be playing right now anyway. So, you know, talking about what kind of talent John Mozeliak's going to be willing to part with in order to bring some new pieces in, honestly, I think it's going to have to be major league talent. I think that if this team is going to compete this year, they're going to have to just turn things over and change things up, because the current state of things is just not working. And when you're a below 500 team and you're in a division that's barely treading water, you either decide to make a run for it and do what you need to do, or you deal with playing Johnny Peralta over somebody like Greg Garcia, or over somebody, obviously not in the same position, but you play someone instead of Magnieri Sierra, who was called up for the weekend and played in a game. Mm-hmm. You know, these are, even when they move some pieces around, to your point, they're still not being used effectively, and that's another part of this problem.
Yeah, because I think you could argue that Tommy Pham could hit third right now, at least for a while. If Stephen Piscotty has looked much better since returning from his days off, as he went home to his mother, who was diagnosed with ALS, which is a terrible thing to deal with, but it seems like, I don't know if that's refocused him or he's trying to do as much for his mother as possible, you know, on the field. I don't know, but it feels like he's had much better approach since he returned. And if so, he can be a third guy. But you're right. I mean, they're not the best. They're the best options the Cardinals have. That doesn't mean they're the best options, period. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Should be a decision this week, as Colton Wong will probably return from the disabled list. Paul DeJong has looked pretty sharp. They've played him pretty much every day. It's kind of like what Magnieri Sierra did the first time around, playing on a regular basis. What do you think? I mean, is this where they get rid of Peralta, or do they send DeJong back down?
There's an eternally hopeful part of me that wants to believe that DeJong will stay and Peralta will go. There's a much more realistic been there, done that side of me that will not be surprised if the reverse happens. There are just some things that this organization seems to do again and again and again, which is... John Mozeliak came out this week in regards to Randall Grichuk, saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, they seem to do a lot of that, so I'm not really sure which piece of the puzzle he was referring to, or if he was just acknowledging some level of insanity, but they seem to do the same thing and repeatedly put guys in the same position. And in their defense, they've been successful for a long time, but I think treating every team exactly the same way is a mistake, because they're not all the same, and the dynamic isn't the same. And, you know, I was talking to Laura and Holly from the STL Cards Gals podcast this week, and they actually asked a really interesting question about creating a fantasy lineup from the Cardinals rosters for the last 5 years. And it was interesting to go back and look at the way those rosters shaped up and how some of the core players from this season were at their best when they were in different roles, when they had different different places in the way that this team functioned. So you can't treat it exactly the same way. You have to find out how to put those guys in the best spot to succeed. And of course, some of that's just baseball. Some of it is you have a good year and then you don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Jake Arrieta. I don't know that that's about putting him in a position to succeed. It's just about that's who Jake Arrieta is. He had a couple of great seasons and now he's not that guy. That's just baseball. But, that's just another reason that you have to be able to adapt to the function and the needs of every team every season, as opposed to, I don't know, always having the same philosophy and expecting it to work like it did 7 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's kind of a question that I've been kicking around, perhaps asking John Mozeliot when we go to Blogger Weekend next weekend. Is how do you keep an organization from getting stale, if nothing else? And I know this has had a successful run of about 20 years now for the Cardinals, and they've had some changes. I mean, the approach they had under Walt Jocketty significantly different than the approach they've had under John Mozeliot. But you know, Mozeliot's been there, you know, getting close to 10 years now. You know, Mike Matheny obviously has been here 6. A lot of the people are in the same positions that they have been. How do they not get stuck in a rut if they don't? And I think a lot of us would say they have been stuck in some sort of rut. And maybe they're, you know, maybe there's some planning behind the scenes. Maybe there's some stuff that they're really, you know, making some pushes. I don't know. But it's difficult. I think it's very difficult to watch this and not feel like there needs to be some sort of shakeup from wherever there is. Now, we saw that shakeup this week in the regard to Randall Grichuk, as you mentioned. They demoted Randall Grichuk not to Memphis, but all the way down to Class A ball, so he could really get some instructional work, much less you know, getting into games. I think he got into a game today for the first time. What does the future hold for Randall Grichuk, at least in the Cardinal organization? What do you think?
This is a tough one for me, and I had some interesting conversations about it with some people who have very strongly opposing opinions about it from what I think, which is great. I think it's helpful to sort of hear different perspectives on things that are so shocking. On some level, I think I get it, because if Randall Grichuk is going to be successful at the major league level, he has to be able to identify pitches. I mean, that's pretty fundamental to being a quality hitter in the big leagues. I think, however, as much as people wanted to tell me that someone who's getting paid millions of dollars to play a game shouldn't need a confidence boost, that's absolutely categorically wrong. I think every single player who plays any sport at any competitive level, I'm talking high school all the way up to a professional level, confidence is a huge part, because that's the mental side of the game that you can't fix by watching film. You can't fix by repetition. You can't necessarily have a coach teach you how to be confident. And if you're at the plate and you know that the organization doesn't think that you're capable of identifying pitches, so much so that they want you to go face A-ball pitchers to figure it out, there you can't convince me that that's not going to mess with a guy's head. You know, having worked with minor league players to some level, I don't say that to name drop or to say that I have any type of insider view, except to say that I have talked to these guys. I have talked to players who've been there, who have been successful, and guys who have not been successful. And you can see it. They're in their heads all the time. And to think that that just goes away when you reach the major league level it's not fair to the human element, if you will, of baseball players, of athletes of any kind. So I understand the potential for the value in the individual instruction, for kind of breaking it all down, going back to the basics and making sure that he is where he needs to be. But I think that all of that being successful hinges on how the Cardinals handled it with Randall Grichuk directly. Because a demotion like that, whether they say that it's for his own good or not, can absolutely destroy a guy who may have a bit of a confidence issue anyway, as far as getting in his own head and not being able to work himself out of those slumps. So if the Cardinals were able to communicate their plan and their intentions and why they think this is a good idea, then it could be very successful. But we've not seen the Cardinals as an organization be particularly good at the communication thing, not just in the recent past, but going back to even Albert Pujols. Tony La Russa came out and said some things this week about the Albert Pujols negotiations that sort of reiterated that fact. So my confidence in the organization's ability to communicate their plan effectively to Randall Grichuk may not be particularly high. So what happens with Grichuk? At this point, I think it's really hard to tell. There's been very little to go on since he was sent to Palm Beach. And, you know, we haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from anyone about him other than he played in a game today. So there's so much to be determined, but I think it's a huge risk to push a guy that far.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There was that argument that pushing him that far down tells him that he's worth more than sending him to Memphis, because the idea is we believe in you. We know that you just need some serious – you need to retinker. We need to work on you. We're going to commit to you to do this. This is not just a normal, everyday, well, basically Jose Martinez is better than you situation. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I don't know. I guess it does depend on how they sell it to Randall Grichuk, and given how they sell things to free agents and Cuban draft people, maybe you should worry about how they sold it to Randall Grichuk.
And to be fair, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. From the outside in, it sounds great to say, no, this is really a good thing. But when you put on an A-ball jersey after 3 or 4 years at the major league level, you cannot convince me that that isn't going to mess with his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it does depend on what his mental state is. And I don't know. It feels like that the Cardinals still need to see him back in St. Louis before they trade him. But there's also that argument that maybe somebody else sees the talent and he goes in some sort of other package with some other people to do something. I mean, I don't know. You're right. I think we'll just have to wait and see how he reacts to Palm Beach and how what results we're seeing and how fast he returns. And hopefully it will be quickly, and hopefully it'll be with the swing that he's got, because obviously he's got plenty of talent and he's got the abilities to do this. We've seen him have good runs just like last year, but not so much lately. To wrap up, let's just bring it all the way back full circle. Michael Wacha left tonight's game, I think 4 1/3 innings. Another rough night for him. 3 straight starts that have been subpar, I think, is probably being generous on those. He did
all coming after they skipped a start, by the way.
That's what I was getting. Yeah, the first start after the skip start was very good, but after that, he's had 3 clunkers. I don't know if there's a connection. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what the deal is with Michael Wacha, and I think that's the kind of the thing that we've talked about all year long is Michael Walker's going to be good until he's not, and we don't know why he won't be.
Yeah, and that's been my concern all along. I told somebody early this season that, you know, they asked me about Michael Wacha, and I basically said, I have no idea, because I'm very hesitant to buy into this idea that they've suddenly magically figured it all out as far as his health is concerned, and that he's going to be just fine, because there's no precedent for that. There's no every season that it's the initial injury, he can run to a wall at some point. It seems to get earlier and earlier each year. So the fact that he did a bunch of strength training is great. It doesn't necessarily translate to what a regular season is like until you're in the middle of that season. So at this point, it's hard to say is the physical situation that he's dealing with. But when you look at him pitch at the beginning of the year, you look at him going deep into games, controlling the count, really utilizing all of the pitches that we'd seen him go away from in the last couple of seasons, and what he's doing now, there's no comparison. And it happened almost overnight, it seems like. He was good, and then he wasn't, like you said. And the problem for the Cardinals right now, in the absence of Alex Reyes, is they don't have a great backup plan. Michael Walker, they needed a fifth starter, and he was the guy that was supposed to fill that slot, but there was, I think, very little confidence moving forward that into it. I think we'd hoped for a little bit more than this, especially after everyone who told me that I was just freaking out for no reason when he was skipped for a start said that this was to make sure that he could pitch in October. Well, okay, the great thing about that, or maybe not so great thing, is that he actually has to get to October 1st. And at this point, that's not looking real great. So what they do with Michael Wacha from here to try to get him back to where he was at the beginning of the year, I don't know, but that's important.
Yeah, I mean, right now it feels like he might make it to October because he spent the summer on the disabled list.
Right.
And that's not exactly the way you want to go about it. Cardinals trying to rally a little bit here. Maybe if we end the show, they can get back to that lead that they had before we decided to actually record. I don't know. But five runs, hey, that's, let's not get crazy, guys. You might need those again. So hopefully
probably not going to score that many for the next week.
Yeah. I will say, though, if they don't score some runs in Cincinnati against that pitching staff in that ballpark, maybe you do wave the white flag, because I'm not saying you have to win the ball games, although you should, you got to put up some runs in Great American Ballpark against.
They did score at Colorado, so.
Yeah, that's true. maybe I should never. We'll never mind that one. I guess. No show next week. Tara will be in Wisconsin, while I will be in St. Louis with the Blogger Weekend. And so we will be back with you on Father's Day, 2 weeks from now. And we'll talk about hopefully maybe a nice run from the Cardinals, and hopefully have a lot more exciting and fun things to talk about rather than just, beating our heads against the wall. But I make no promises. So for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.